foundation under something, that's it. There's no power on earth that is able to overthrow God. If God wants to do something, it doesn't matter what it is, he can do it. And nobody can stop him. Nobody can say, I'll overthrow God. He can't. He can't. That's why he's God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. He's all-good. He's all. Whatever is, he is. Everything else is not. Because everything else is just a creature. It's just a creation that he made, and he's over it. So the creature can't overthrow the creator. So God is our sure, certain foundation, and therefore, there's no possibility for that to be shaken. Now, everything in the world can be shaken except one thing, God, and whatever God wants. If God wants something, that can't be shaken. Now, the Bible goes on to say, having this seal, God is our sure foundation, having this seal. So, God's, if you seal something off, that means you're protecting it. You're setting it off by itself. So what does God seal? What does he set off by itself? Now, the whole world's made by God. So that big blue circle up there is everybody. But out of everybody, God seals or sets off his church. I know you can't see it, but I drew some red crosses up there to show different churches. And so these churches, God has set off. So these, in the middle of everything, there are some churches, and this belongs to God. So here's God pointing down, this is mine. You know, that belongs to me. So he calls this mine. I know you can't read it, but that's why I just wrote mine up there. Now everything else is his too, but he doesn't acknowledge it as his. So even though he made everything and it's all his, he says, some of it isn't mine. What part isn't mine? Well, anybody that doesn't do what I say. So I don't call that mine, I call that not mine. Even though it's all his. He can do whatever he wants, and he's got a law for everybody. If you do good, you live forever. If you do bad, you don't live. I mean, so he's got a little law there, and you get, you know, 50 years or 20 or 10 minutes or whatever. Whatever you get, you get. And during that time that you're on the earth, you can decide to blow God off. You can decide to rebel. You can decide to go your own way, to do your own thing. Or you can decide to go God's way. So you get a choice. Amen? And everybody, I mean, you don't get a choice about getting a choice. You have a choice and you have to choose. Am I not being heard? Oh, you got a real marker. That's the best. Thank you, Jesus. This is mine. So whatever belongs to God, whatever belongs to God, he protects because it's his. And he's got all the power and all the wisdom and all the everything. So he can protect what's his. And nobody can take it. If somebody says, well, I'm going to take that away from God, you can't. What you can do is you can blow God off, but that's your own deal. So he doesn't force you to obey him. He gives you liberty. And once he gives you liberty, then you have liberty. I mean, liberty is liberty. And he doesn't have to do that. I mean, cats and dogs don't have liberty to tell jokes. And so they don't have liberty. They just have a limited little liberty. But we've got an incredible liberty because no cat ever sinned. The cats don't sin. The rocks don't sin. The trees don't sin. We're the only ones that can sin because we've been given the liberty to sin or not sin. In other words, to obey or not obey. In other words, to believe or not believe. I mean, that's ours, and cats don't have that. Cats only do what cats do. But we're actually able to do what we were not designed to do. No cat has ever failed to be a cat. You know, if you can't bawl out, you are a bad cat today. That's what people say, but that cat was just doing what cats do. Amen? Like I'll give an example. All right, all you cats, line up. They won't do it. They won't do it. You cannot herd cats easily. So they're all biologically determined, but you're not. You actually could go without food, but a cat's not going to do that. Yeah, I'm not hungry today. They never fast. You know, they might not have the food, but they want it. And so everything in the world is unfree except us. We're the only things that are totally free. We can blow God off. or we can worship him. But animals all praise God. All animals praise God because they have just the eyes he wanted and the tails and the noses and whatever it is they have. So we're the only people that could fail to be what we were created to be. But nothing else in creation sins. It all obeys God. Are you aware of that? The clouds do what God says. The moon does exactly what he wants. Everything obeys God, and we don't have to. That's cool. Isn't that cool? So, you know, you don't have to do what God said. But there's a consequence. But you get to decide for yourself whether you care or not. Maybe you don't think there is a God. You get to decide. Maybe you believe there is, but you just want to hurt him. That's a decision you can make. But whatever you do, in case you lose, in case he is God and you disobeyed him, there's a consequence to it. Has anyone figured that out? Okay. Now, when he picks something and says, I'm going to establish this from the beginning and it's never going to be shaken. No storm, no cloud, nothing can ever shake this. For example, Jesus said one time, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Poor Satan. Because Satan, who hates the church and hates God, he's free to hate him, but he's not afraid to defeat. He can't defeat him. So there's no way that Satan can win. So you have to feel sorry for him. Only most of you just follow him. And so if you follow him, that's okay. And then, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's allowable in your liberty. Cats can't do that. No, the cat doesn't get to decide. I don't think I'll do what cats do today. No, you have to. Now, I know some of you think that your cat talks to you and so on, but they don't. That's silly. You're crazy. But that's all right. So God has rigged it where whatever belongs to him, and it isn't everybody. Even though everybody belongs to him, he said, that one was made by me. But he calls the church out of the world, everybody that's made by him, and he says, this one is made out of me. Out of me. In the Greek language, pros ton theon. That's made out of God. He's made ek tu theou. He's made in a way that's out of God himself. In other words, you're of God. Ye are of God, little children. 1 John. Ye are of God, little children. So you're actually made ek tu theou, out of God himself. So you, instead of dirt, remember how Adam and Eve were made out of dirt and then he breathed into them? Well, you are not made that way. You are made in such a way that when Jesus breathed on his disciples, you remember the day of resurrection? Went up to heaven, came back, saw those two guys walking along the road of Emmaus, then finally met the disciples in a room all, you know, scared. And he said, boo, he said. No, he didn't say boo. He said, peace be to you. Don't be scared. Don't be worried. Actually, he wasn't even saying that. What he was really saying was, shalom. Shalom. Or, eirene in the Greek, shalom in the Hebrew. What he was really saying was, I'm lining everything up that belongs to me. So peace to you does not mean don't be scared of the Jews. What it means is nobody can stop what I'm doing. So I'm lining you up with me, and by doing that, you were made by God and messed up. But now you're going to be made out of God, and you won't mess up because nothing relies on you. This time you'll make it because it's me, the guarantor, and whatever I purchase or buy, that's mine, and I'll breathe on you. So Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive you, the Holy Ghost. Not just, nephesh, you know, like animals even have that kind of living thing. So you have breath in you. But not just ruach, the holy breath of God, because they blew that off when they sinned. But this is a different kind of breath. This will be the actual spirit of the living God. You are now mine. So we live by the spirit of a living God. Did you all know that? So when you're born again, you're born out of that spirit. So when he breathed on him, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. or the Holy Spirit. Now, you have the same Spirit that Jesus operated by. You have the same Spirit because he was the Son of God, and now you are. You're the same. You have the same power, the same capacity, only you don't know it unless someone explains that and tells you, hey, by the way, you have the Spirit of God. I do? Yeah. And most of us are not accustomed to, we're accustomed to darkness. We don't even imagine who we are. So we're still so accustomed to the darkness that when we come out in the light, it's like, whoa, it's too bright. You know, it blinds your eyes. So you're used to being a slave. You're not used to being a king. You're not used to being royalty. You're not used to being happy all the time. You're not used to loving your neighbor. You're just not used to it. But you're capable of doing it. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Okay? Justification, you know, that's chair 4. Sanctification, that's chair 5. And then chair 6, that's glorification. In other words, when you actually love somebody, that wasn't you. That was actually the Spirit of the living God inside of you, loving your husband, loving your wife, loving your neighbor, loving your enemy, loving whoever. And it had nothing to do with you. You just love because God loves. So it isn't even you, it's actually the love of God in you, loving others through you. First loving you, you get the first benefit, and then after that, you love others. And God wants that. God actually wants you not just to be a believer, but also to be a disciple who goes through troubles and problems, and you always praise God when you do. Amen? I mean, we're not like the world. We're totally different. The world gripes and complains when they go through troubles, but we don't. I mean, unless you're a hypocrite. Unless you're a hypocrite. Because if you're born again, then you have the Spirit of the living God inside of you. And even if you did gripe and complain, you would immediately be convicted by the Holy Ghost, who would say, that ain't holy. That's not who you are. You forgot who you are. Look in the mirror again. Ah, yeah, I forgot who I was. Oh, yeah, I'm a lover. I'm in love. Is anybody here in love? Yeah, you're in love. That's who you are, a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. New things are already here. They're not coming. I don't have to see them to believe them. I actually believe right now Peggy loves me with all her heart and soul and strength, and even if she doesn't, God does. You see, so I can just forgive her if she messes up. And every once in a while, I sin. It's not that often or anything, but it's occasionally I forget who I am. And so she has to forgive me. You see how that works? So here you can have two people both born again, and what happens? They can love one another. What if they don't? Well, the Holy Spirit will convict you, and you just say, I'm sorry, and that's it. That's the end of that. And you remember who you are. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, I forgot. Did I say I hate you? I meant to say I love you. I forgot. That's all. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So now, God is teaching us that what belongs to me is mine, and I, God, I'm going to say this. If I start it, I swear I'll finish it. Now, if you start it, it isn't going to happen. Anything you start probably will not happen. No, not probably. It will not happen. If you do it. Remember there was that one group that came to Jesus and he said, on the last day, some are going to come and say, Lord, Lord, we did mighty works in your name. And he said to those that said they did it, depart from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. See, they weren't really breathed upon. They were doing for God. They were at their best really behaving themselves. They were getting people saved and healed and using Jesus' name and so on. He said, get out. Because you said you did it. Whereas a real believer would say, God, you did it. I didn't do it. I give God all the glory. If anything good comes out of me, it's a miracle. It's totally a miracle. Now, if Paul loves you, you know that's a miracle, right? Has it ever happened? Well, don't thank him. Don't thank him because it was a miracle. It had nothing to do with him. Nothing. And so Paul is dead, and Jesus lives through him. And if Paul's alive, he won't get love. If he's alive, he takes care of himself, then he's not going to take care of you. That happens every once in a while, am I right? Just, just kind of like me, occasionally. Now, you are not, Jesus said this, apart from me you can do nothing. So you are not capable of doing anything apart from him. So the whole world is made by him, but it's not part of him, and therefore it can do nothing. The whole world does nothing. When they do something, it's nothing. No, that's God's idea. God gets to decide what he decides. So if he wants to say, something silly, he can say it. But when he says it, that's it, because he's God. And he never lies, and he's not evil. And so whatever he says, I don't care if you like it or agree with it or understand it or whatever, that's the way it is. So if God says, Jim, love your wife as I love the church, well, that's the standard right there. So to love Peggy is not to love the way I would love. It's the way Jesus would love. Okay, you see, it's a little different standard. Mine is, well, she didn't deserve it, and that's why I yelled at her and put her in her place. God says, no, Jim, I didn't want you to love her the way she deserves. I want you to love her the way I would love her. I would forgive her and bless her anyway and so on. I want you to do it my way. Huh, that'll kill me. Yes, that's exactly it. I want to kill you off till there's nothing left but me. Isn't that exciting? You see there? There's the glory of God. So if you're a Christian, you're not able just to be a believer. You also have to be a disciple who gets killed, and then you can become a lover who lives for God because you're dead. Isn't that exciting? Wouldn't that be exciting if something bad happened that you wouldn't say what you wanted to say, but you would say what he wanted you to say? You see what I'm saying? So 2 days ago, when we were down in Austin for our state Republican convention thing, I drove the car that y'all bought me. And, it's one of those with 140 things they do and nothing can go wrong kind of thing. And so something went wrong. And I got in the car and pushed the little button, because it doesn't have a key. You just push these little button. And it went, and that is not good. And it didn't turn on. So I waited a couple of seconds, then pressed on the pedal again, then that's wrong. Now, I wasn't ticked off right away, because I thought, well, maybe I left the door open or a light on or something, because it sounds like the thing is dead. Or if it's not dead, close to dead. So there's something wrong. And so I checked. Yeah, sure enough, the light was on. That little up in the ceiling thing. I never looked at anything in the car. I mean, I just get in, push it, and drive. I hate all those little things. I have no idea what they all do. And, I used to like the old things that they had off on, but this one has magical things, it serves you tea and everything. I don't get it. I have no idea. Well, no, I don't do it. I just don't do it. All I do is get in and I've learned one thing, press the pedal, push that button, and then you drive. But anyway, so I checked around and I thought, well, something's wrong. And so I asked somebody else, being intelligent, I asked somebody else who might know. I said, hey, you have one of these kind of cars. When they go like that, is that good? No, it's supposed to go on right away. Well, could you sit in the car and think that the thing out? Okay, see? That's the problem. What does this little thing say here? VSC. I don't know. Your book says. Oh, my God. Now I'm starting to get mad. Because now I belong to Jesus. I'm a good Christian. But even so, at times, I get angry. Right? I get angry. And so I was starting to, just see the little bit. Like, why did those people give me that kind of car? I don't like that kind of car. I want my old car. And that was my flesh. That was my old man coming out. And then fortunately, there was a person I said, could you jump my car? Because maybe the battery is worn out or old. It was supposed to give me a new everything, new tires, new everything, and this 145 checkpoints thing. And I thought, well, maybe they gave me an old one. So I went and opened the hood. And there, I don't know if you've ever seen the inside of that car, but there's nothing there. There's just a big shield over the thing, and you can't see anything. Someone, oh my God, I should have looked. I don't have anything there. There's just this big black thing, and it's just got, you know, anyway, I don't know how to get to anything. So I asked David Halverson, I said, David, can you think of what this is? Oh yeah, you just lift this and so on and so forth, we'll do it. So he lifts it, and here's your battery. And he said, yeah, it does look a little, you know, like maybe it may not be new. Well, they probably gave me an old one, they lied. Now that's making me mad. Now I'm getting mad at the dealer, and so on and so forth. And anyway, so then there's another person that we get that, will you please jump it? Sure. So they come over and try to jump it, and David's going back and forth, nothing's working. I went, David, you're no good. You're not solving this. Now I'm getting madder. But I'm still not completely mad. How many know that mad comes slow? You can go by degrees. But I'm... That was right. I would have gotten extremely mad right away, but there were people watching my testimony. So this other lady, who's my partner, she says to me, well, you know, you praise the Lord in all things. And I responded to her kindly, I believe in that theology. But I'm not about to practice that, because I'm getting mad. Because the time now, the meeting had run late, and so the time now is they shut the garage down, and then the AAA, you know, people that come out and give you a new battery or whatever they do, you call the dealer, and they say, it's, you know, we're closed, but we'll call AAA, and they'll come out. It'll be about an hour. Well, no, the door's closed. You know, we can't get out. I'll be stuck here all night, you know, so I was getting madder. Anyway, so, and I was mad now at her for doing all that, and David for not being able to fix it, and so on and so forth. So I'm getting mad. I'm getting really mad. But being a good Christian, keeping my testimony up, I don't show it. I bury it. That's called hypocrite. However, I'm not altogether bad, because I know I'm a hypocrite. And I tell God, God, I know I'm a hypocrite, but I'm not going to praise you. So, and if I do, it'll be phony. So, because I'm mad. Now, I don't know if there's anyone here liketh unto me, but, you know, that's what you do, is you kind of build up, and you know you're a Christian, and you know you're supposed to praise the Lord, and I agree to that. I totally believe in that. I just don't want to do it. Right now, I want to be mad, and I want to be mad, and I want to express it. But because of my testimony, I can't. So I don't. I go, well, yeah, praise the Lord. But you could tell it's a little not enthusiastic at all. You know, wasn't like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, mine was more like, my God, what is happening? I could be here all night. You know, all kinds of things were flooding in on me, and I wasn't thinking of Jesus at all. I'd forgot Jesus. So I finally just decide, oh, well, you know, we'll just wait for the guy to come, and if it's 6:30, the truck can't come in, we're just stuck. And that's all there's to it. We'll have to get our clothes, walk out, and then try to go 24 miles to where we're going to sleep tonight. We'll have to just figure something out. And so somebody comes out of the door, and thank God it's a friend of ours. And I think, there's my salvation right there. That guy has a car just like mine. And he comes and said, yay, how you doing? And I go, well, right now I'm a little bit of trouble, and you can't tell that I'm angry. And but you know what these cars are like. What do you do here? He said, well, just get in, push the pedal, and put, yeah, I've done that. So we'll do it again. Okay, so I'll do it. So I'll press the pedal. You see? Now what? He said, yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a bad battery. I said, we know that because a little light keeps coming on saying your battery's shot or something. It's not working. And so anyway, so he starts talking, and I'm trying to be a good Christian, so I'm laughing and, you know, pretending like I'm happy, but secretly I'm not. And underneath, I'm griping and complaining that I'm just not allowed to say it. But I'm really angry. I'm mad. Because God is not my sure foundation, and I am not His, and I don't feel sealed at all. So, at any rate, but I don't say anything because I don't want to lose my testimony. And so after he's got done talking and the guy hasn't come yet and it's going to be too late and it's almost 6:30 now. And so he leaves, and as he's going away, he said, "Hey, by the way, why don't you just try it once more? Sometimes it just goes on." "I don't think so. We've tried it 20, 30 times already, and it's not going to go on." So anyway, I push it, and it goes on. So then we called AAA and told them not to do it. The point of all that is to say, I believe in praising God in all difficult situations, but I didn't do it. Now then, why did God turn it on for me? You know, why would God be gracious to me? Because there's no reason why it went on, although maybe it's some kind of a computer thing or something. Whatever. Whatever it is, God wanted me to praise him, and I did outwardly, but as a hypocrite. I did outwardly. Now, you know what? That's not doing it right, because here's what it says. It said, God is your sure foundation, having this sealed, that God knows what is his. And then it says, therefore, anyone who calls on the name, anyone who names the name of Jesus or the Christ, departs from evil. Well, I didn't. I actually was evil because I knew, even though I believed in Jesus and believed he'd forgive my sins, I didn't want to be in trouble and suffer and then praise him. I did not. So evil in the chair number 4 is not believing in Jesus when you do wrong. I wasn't committing that one. I was now sitting in chair number 5 suffering, and I didn't want to suffer, so I wouldn't praise him. And even though I technically did, I knew I hypocritically did. And therefore, I wasn't at all acting in love. I was just trying to distract myself so I didn't see what a bad testimony I had. You see how treacherous I am? Now, God, nevertheless, said this, that even though you didn't depart from evil, you confessed it. And that's your testimony, is that every once in a while I forget who I am. Every once in a while I just behave like everybody else. Every once in a while a Christian forgets that he's a child of the living God, that he belongs to God, and that he's to be a testimony to this world. But there's two ways to testify. One is chair 4. I sinned, I did wrong, God forgive me, and I can't tell the world what I did because they only see my behavior. And they can't tell if I'm a hypocrite or genuine. But they can kind of sense that when I say, praise the Lord, I didn't put a lot of enthusiasm in it. You know, I wasn't that excited about, I didn't really think God was real and he was going to come through and, you know, everything was going to work out peachy. I actually thought, I won't tell you what I actually thought. But I was a griper and a complainer. And I hate that when other people do that, especially when I give a good teaching on that, and then they don't do it. I always think, what is wrong with those people? That is in the Bible. That's a good thing to do. But then when I get into it, I have an understanding of why I didn't do it, and I can explain it to myself. Y'all see that? That's called hypocrite. And so there I was, a hypocrite, and yet God loved me. That's an amazing testimony. That even though we're hypocrites, God, once he decides that you belong to him, no matter what, he will never let you perish. He will not let you down. But it's easy to talk the talk but not walk the walk. But here's the deal. It's not up to you. It's up to God. And God can take that which is broken and bad and failing, and he can fix it because it belongs to him. And here's his promise. He made this promise. It's not he who begins, chair 4, but he who endures, chair 5, until the end, chair 6. Now, here's what he said. The good work that I began in you, I will surely complete and finish. So he has a stake in me, and even if I fail, he will not allow me to fail. Now, I'm not resisting him. It's just that I resisted him. Did you all hear what I just said? I mean, I resisted him because I was in the flesh. And God didn't regard my flesh, but he regarded my faith. And he said, Jim, even though that was your flesh and you didn't, you gave in to your flesh. You just sinned. But I still will forgive you, and then I'll send you through the fire again. So you get to go through over and over again until you learn your lesson. So I promise the next time I go through a difficulty, I'm going to praise God right away. That's called lying. That's called lying. So even though I know what's right, it's easy to forget. And it's easy to just fall back into the flesh. So do you know who you are, your new creation? And here's what I wouldn't believe is, Jim, you're a new creation. You want to praise me right now. And my flesh said, no, it doesn't. That was my flesh. But my spirit said, yahoo! But I wouldn't let him talk. Be quiet. You're not going to talk. This is flesh time. And so, you know, but the point is that God, I didn't control God because, why? Because he's my sure foundation. When God puts you through something that shakes you, even though you would fail, when you belong to God, you cannot fail. Because God cannot fail. And so, I want to read the rest of this chapter because it's very powerful and very interesting. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. In other words, there are some dishes that are made out of clay and some things made out of wood, and they can burn, but gold and silver don't burn. So in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, which are indestructible. They you can burn them all you want or put them in water or whatever. They just stay. But also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So God puts in the church those that are honorable and those that are not. Those that are gold and silver and those that are just wood and earth. Those that are hypocrites and those that are true. If a man, therefore, purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. That's not just justified, chair 4. That's also sanctified, chair 5, where I want everything in me to die except that which belongs to God. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, made holy, and meet for the master's use. In other words, you've been set aside in these last days for God's use and purpose. And even though I failed 2 days ago, yet I do praise God that I didn't praise God, but that he remained God anyway. And I didn't. I failed. And I even knew when I was doing it, like, why are you resisting God? You know you believe in this. And I couldn't explain it. It's like, well, I don't know, but I just am. You know, and I not only didn't want to praise, I wanted to gripe to the people around me and say stuff. And the very thing that I always teach people not to do. But I wanted to do it. I felt like I had a right to do it, and I wanted to do it. And it was just that they were there, and I couldn't do it, that I didn't do it. Now, what God is saying is, don't forget you're gold and silver. And when you go through the fire, you know what happens to gold and silver? They purify. The flesh dies, the dross gets poured off, but the spirit actually is made pure because the dross is gone. And so what makes gold look gold is that it keeps becoming purified until in heaven it's absolutely pure gold, which is white, not gold at all. But if you purify gold to 99.999, it's gold. But if you purified it one more tenth, it would be white, like crystal. That's why before the throne of God, there is a big crystal sea, because it's all gold. So you can actually walk on it. You can walk on water. You can walk on that crystal sea. You can, but the streets that are gold may not look gold. They may actually look gleaming white. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So you are not in this world ever going to get to the point where you are pure gold. But you could get to the point where the world could see you as gold, 99.999. Almost, almost. When the trumpet blows and Jesus comes back again, you'll be pure gold. As your heart is right now pure, so your soul will be pure and you'll never forget again. And then your body will be a new body, not the body you have now, but it'll be a new perfect body that never decays. It won't be like this body. but it will be a body similar, but it'll be just be a heavenly body, like an angel. And that body will never fade or diminish or decay, because it'll be perfect, like unto God. So God is working on us, and though you cannot become perfect, 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 and therefore you can always be forgiven, sit in chair four, but you actually are to depart from evil. And that's how the world sees whether you're a believer or not. And so in chair six, you actually should not make excuses for sin, but you should let the Holy Spirit convict you and say, you know what? I'm not yet perfected, and I want to be. All right, let's have a couple of people say, Pastor, I'm not yet perfected, but I want to be. Judy. Amen. David. Amen. Bonnie. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. It's good. Anyone else? Amen. Yes. It's good. Your words are, you know, it's not, your words just simply are expressing what, having heard what God said, they're just expressing, yeah, that I'd like to be there, but I can't help. I need you to do it. I could do it, but I'd do it in the flesh, and so you do it. And when it happens, you'll know it's God, because you'll know, I didn't do that. I didn't just hypocritically do it. It was actually God who set me free. And there's a peace about that that passes understanding. I mean, just you suddenly have a peace about you that, you know what, God is working out his purposes in me. So you want to go through the fire. And if you have a lot of sin in you, you need to go through more times. Yeah. So you praise God because you've gone through, you know, maybe two times. And you only have four more to go. It doesn't matter how many times you go through. It's just that you want it to be perfect. And so it just keeps going through until you can feel the weight falling away. You can actually feel that you're no longer mad like you used to get mad, like I was 2 days ago. You feel that you're actually growing in the Lord. Now that's exciting. You're not condemned for it. He doesn't condemn you. Remember, you didn't promise. He did. The good work I started in you, I will surely complete. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So will we make it? Yes. For sure? Yes. And you personally? That one you're not sure on, because you think it's still up to you. It's actually up to God who already chose you. Did you know that God so loved the world, even people that aren't believers, even people that hate him? He actually loved them and will never, ever, ever, ever change his mind. Now, because he loves you doesn't mean you'll go to heaven. It just means it isn't his will that you go to hell or depart and live in sin. That was never his will. But he won't force you because you're not a cat. You're not a tree or a bush or a cricket. You have the ability to make your own decision. But he's already made his. I want you, but I will not force you. So it's up to you. You want to be miserable? You want to gripe and complain? He won't stop you. But he told you, don't. Give praise, because I make a promise. I will bring you, I will perfect you until when you arrive in heaven, you'll realize I did all of that because I loved you as a sinner. I did not love you as a saint. I loved you as a sinner. And I didn't do it because you were worthy. You deserved it. I did it because I'm God and I get to decide anything I want to do. And I want all men not to come to me under the law, but I want them to come freely as a gift. I gave you by law so you'd realize you can't do it. All I gave you the law for was so you'd realize you couldn't do it. I never gave you the law so you'd do it. I never gave anyone a law that you could do. I gave you a law to show what my son Jesus would do, and then you'd hate him. And the reason we hated Jesus was not because he was bad. It was because he was good. Let's say you had a better husband or a better wife. It won't help. Because Jesus is as good as you can get. We kill that guy. When you see somebody that's perfect, you being imperfect, you will hate him. You will not love him. Isn't that amazing? So if you had everything you wanted, you would still be miserable and unhappy because you chose to be. Well, no, the reason I was is because that car wouldn't start. No, it's a lie. I was ticked on something else, obviously, before that car died. There was something Peggy did, I'm sure. So, you know, I was already not built up or something. You know, who knows? Who cares? But the truth is, thank God we have a God who is a sure foundation. Having this seal, this surrounding fence, this which everything inside the fence is mine, saith the Lord. And he promised to take the justified, make them sanctified, and then glorified so that he gets all the glory. And then he gives you all the benefit. Now that's a good God. That's a God that we can boast on and brag on because he takes us as we are. And then whatever improvements are made, he does them. And in chair 5, the chair that most of us don't want to go through, the difficult chair, you can get out of that chair just simply by, as soon as you go through it, you just say, praise the Lord, I love this chair because I need it to kill off my flesh and purify my spirit. And so my death, my crucifixion of the flesh, I can't even pull that off. He has to do it. But he knows how to do it, and it doesn't matter how much he gives me, I could pray, God, do whatever it takes because he's a good God who loves me. He would never do anything that hurt me. Everything he's going to do is to bring me to perfection. It's not to punish me. God is not a punishing God under the left hand. He is a rewarding God, free gift, under the right hand. It doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what you read in the Bible. His law was never fulfilled by anybody. Somebody said, oh, I believe in the law. No, you don't. You say you believe in it. Well, were you perfect? No. Well, then you don't believe in it. That's just nonsense. What you need is God to reserve, you know, he can give us things. He gave us a whole bunch of things. But you will misuse all the things he gave you. But thank God he doesn't give you everything. He reserves for himself something that he didn't give. He reserves in case you mess up or in case other people mess up. He's got something in reserve. He says, what'd you do with the gift I gave you? Ruined it. No problem. I've got another one. Wow. Thank you. You got any more? Because I might ruin this one too. Because I can just about ruin anything that's given to me. You all understand that? Like, I haven't scratched the car yet, but I know I'm going to. I'm going to ruin it. I'm just going to ruin it. And when I do, I'm going to be so mad and so angry. But before I do that, I'm going to learn to praise God every day. So I go out every day. Praise the Lord. I got a scratch on it or a bump on it or crashed inside or something. And I will feel shamed and then I'll feel angry. And I'm going to have all the natural feelings that people have. So I've got to get used to the fact that I'm not God. And I still haven't got that down. Is there anyone else like me? I still want to make excuses for myself and explain stuff and talk and yak and whatever. Instead of just going, praise the Lord, all things are good. Because thanking is prayer. Chair 4. You thank him for dying for you as a sinner. Praising is chair 5. You're praising him for his faithfulness and for his love and for his kindness and his gentleness and wisdom and so on. And loving him in chair 6, which is what happens after you're dead to yourself and you're alive to him. And that is not the world to come. That's this world. We actually should be loving one another now because that's our testimony. Our light and our salt in this world is for the blessing, not of the church, but for the blessing of the world. And when you give a bad testimony or an example, saith, I will not be only begin, but I'll help you to endure until you get to the very end. I want the world to see, and it's now, not next year, next month, or sometime. It's now. That God wants now for us to look, just today, just now, to look like the church that he intended. And I'm sorry I have to confess my own sins, but I do. And part of our testimony is that we do. We have to testify and say, well, I wasn't perfect there, so forgive me. And you know what? Most people won't. Most people say, well, you know, after you did that, you know, I don't like you anymore. So that's too bad. And that's another fire for you to go through. And you're never going to get through until you're through, until you are pure gold, pure silver. But that's what God has promised to do with you. So just relax, enter into his rest, let God work it out. There's no weight on you. There's no pressure on you. It's just depart from evil. What does it mean? It means he will actually teach you how to believe him no matter what, then how to be a disciple and praise him no matter what, and then how to love no matter what. That's what he's teaching you. We have a good God, a God that loves us, a God that puts in every great house vessels for honor, vessels for dishonor. Don't worry about that. You are his. That's all you need to worry about. God, don't let me not be yours. That little baby belongs to y'all. And she knows that. She won't come to me. I'll try to get her. I'll see if she'll come to me. See? Now, but watch if I actually get her. See? Then, can I have you? Yeah. Oh, she's mine. You like being with me? There's daddy. God is good. He knows who belongs to him. He wants us to be smiling like that baby who's happy to belong to a God, to a parent, that no matter what happens, God is your sure foundation. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Depart from evil, which means believe on him, praise him, and then love unconditionally. All right, God is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you that we are beloved of you and that you cannot lie and that you're a sure foundation that when the world is shaken, we will not be moved. We will not be moved. And though it looks like we will be moved, though it feels like we will be moved, though it appears that we're moved, we won't be. Because we belong to you. Amen and amen.